Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking with Ken Tapp. He's the CEO of Social Life Network, Inc. The stock symbol is WDLF. Ken, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Right, so Ken, let's get started with if you can tell us what made you decide to start this company a few years back, and what the business model is.
Sure. I'm going to go back about 20 years just briefly, as I helped start a company, a little one at the time, big now, Realtor.com, and went through the IPO of that company in 99. That was really my first entree into public companies, and then built some other technology companies that supported Realtor.com, and then later Trulia and Zillow in the real estate space, to the tune of about 57,000 home builders and 1.5 million real estate offices were using our software. I sold that company in 2009, and of course, through the process of building those companies up, what I identified was that real estate professionals, but not limited just to real estate, I think a lot of industry professionals struggle with social networking. They struggle with digitally marketing and advertising themselves online. And most importantly, because they're small operations, they tend to wear multiple hats, and the marketing and the sales tend to be the last hat they put on during the week. And so it just doesn't get the amount of attention that it's that's necessary in order for them to become successful. And we decided after I sold my last company to start looking at a new tech concept, which would be merging together four main digital media platforms that were very popular and still are: social networking for one, e-commerce for two, CRM systems or online SaaS systems for customer relationship management. That would include email marketing, mobile app, etc. And then finally, a big data analytics so that we could provide back online behavior, not specific to an individual per se, but a group of individuals and how they're behaving in the business industry or niche industry that they're in, so that we could provide that information back to the powers that be, if you will. If we're talking about real estate, we would call that Keller Williams or RE/MAX could have a lot of information on how their agents are utilizing the internet, and so on and so forth in different niche industries. So as we decided to start the company back at late 2012 and got started actually at January 2013, what we did is we laid out a framework that would include a social network very similar to Facebook or LinkedIn, with the ability to go into niche industries. And we picked the cannabis industry first. A little bit of a joke here, but we thought if we try the cannabis industry first and we failed, no one would remember, and we could move on to the real estate industry and some other niche industries. And so that is exactly what we did, although we didn't fail. That cannabis network that we launched in 2013 called weedlife.com took off and became accessible by 120 different countries and is now the largest social network in the world for the cannabis and the hemp industry. So we're excited about that. But we also did target the real estate industry. And along the way, by about 2015, we targeted some sports verticals. The biggest would be hunting and fishing. That's a $1.4 trillion a year industry for retail goods, everything from a fishing lure to an African safari. So what we have identified were niche verticals that we felt technology had passed over, that our business model would fit perfectly into. And here we are, 6 years down the road and very successful and trading on the OTC, QB, and looking to grow.
Okay. So the Weed Life, is that the kind of the flagship of your social media sites?
It is for the time being. I only say that because even though it's extremely large, I believe the hunting and fishing industry will dwarf it. It's obviously a massive industry. In fact, in the United States alone, one out of three U.S. citizens are on Facebook accessing a hunting or fishing group. And so
Really?
there's obviously a much larger audience than the cannabis industry for
Okay.
sure.
And what's the name of that site?
The hunting and fishing, that's Hunt Post.
Hunt Post. Okay. So
Correct.
huntpost.com. Okay. And so what, what's really, how do you differentiate your social media sites versus something that's let's say a group on Facebook or LinkedIn. What's the advantage for using your sites for the user?
For the end user, the main advantage is that you're in a niche end or niche network. You're not bothered with the noise that you find on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. Twitter's primarily negative information. LinkedIn has turned into more of a spamming platform. And of course, Facebook is an enormous amount of white noise, and it's really not designed for industry specific. So what people find when they join our niche industry networks is that they are amongst like-minded folks. They don't have to worry about what they're saying or what they're posting. For instance, in the hunting and fishing industry, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people who won't post a lot of their pictures or video because of the backlash they get when they're on Facebook with people who are not pro hunting or fishing. So it just makes for a safer environment across the board. From the business person's point of view, the entrepreneur in any of these niche industries, our platforms have an enormous amount of tools, digital tools specific to that industry that helps them all do their job faster and better, more efficiently. And part of that is because we leverage artificial intelligence and blockchaining to do a lot of the work for them so that they don't have to worry about doing their posting and email marketing, et cetera.
You mentioned that one out of three Facebook users is active in a hunting or fishing forum or page. Is that
In the United States, that's right,
that's
about
what? It's a huge number.
120 million people.
Okay,
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
surprised because I actually don't use Facebook, but I kind of assume that Facebook is more of a, shall we say, left leaning or politically correct. They're trying to kind of go in a direction of anti-gun, anti whatever, and I would think that they'd probably shut down those areas on their site at some point, or at least give people a hard time, which would be good for you.
Yeah, it's been great for us across all the niches that we focused on here. Obviously, in the cannabis industry, you've heard or you've read news that they're actively shutting down cannabis groups, and as fast as you can open up a group or create a new page, it just about gets shut down by them. So they're not friendly to the cannabis or the hemp industry. The real estate industry, very unique in the sense that Facebook had been violating a lot of the HUD rules with regard to advertising opportunities on Facebook, and HUD has now come back with a class action lawsuit against Facebook. And they get those all the time, no big deal. They pay them off. But the kicker here is that they had to change, they being Facebook, had to change the way they offered advertising on their network to realtors and home builders. And so they cut out what we've estimated to be about 90 or 95% of the opportunities that realtors or home builders had before. So once again, it provides a better opportunity for these niche industries to use our networks. Hunting and fishing is no different, where they then don't have their hands tied with what they can say, what they can post and share, and how they can advertise.
Okay, now let's talk about some of the metrics. What are the metrics for these various sites right now? In terms of
Sure.
users,
So let's talk about the,
traffic, etc.
We'll talk about our most mature network, which is the cannabis network. We have taken that Canvas division now that it's going on 6 years old, and it has about 2.6 million user sessions on average per month, which is makes us the largest in the cannabis and hemp industry by miles. We have about 1.2 million active monthly users, and of those users, one point, I'm sorry, I should say, those are users. So in other words, we have both users and members that come into our network, not in the entire network requires a username or a password. So we differentiate between users and members because I believe the valuation is really based on the members and active members in a network. And so if you look at our active actual members, we're at about 367,000 active members that come into the network frequently throughout the week and month. Those are the members that you can attach a value to. We've attached Statista's value at $96 per user, and that gives us about a $36 million valuation, $35 million valuation on that division. And as a result, we decided to spin the company out into a wholly owned subsidiary about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And we are now in the process of doing a capital raise, private equity placement for that, and go public on the either the CSE or the TSX up in Canada
So
in
you're gonna
2019.
so basically the so the cannabis sites will be spun off into a wholly owned subsidiary that'll be publicly traded. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's actually already taken place, the spinoff. It's again a wholly owned subsidiary. So what that means is that all of the valuation of that company when it goes public and grows on the Canadian exchange, of course, comes back to Social Life Network on their on the quarterly filings, the annual filings. And so there's an increased asset to Social Life Network. And one of the reasons that we wanted to do it that way, the primary reason is that, look, it's pretty frothy up there in Canada right now. There's an enormous amount of investment capital going into cannabis-related companies. We are the largest in the digital space. In fact, many of the very familiar names you've heard of Canopy, Aurora, Tilray, etc., Acreage, they have been using our network for years now. So it makes a lot of sense for us to join our customers up in that marketplace. And of course, it's a lot easier for us to have that investment capital come in specific to a cannabis-related company versus when investment capital would come into Social Life Network and then have to decide what direction it needs to go. Is it going to go into cannabis? Is it going to go into hunting and fishing or real estate, etc., if that makes sense.
Okay, right. So it gives investors, pure play in the cannabis space. You can really enjoy that the high valuations those stocks are getting now
Right.
with this. Now, what about the other sites? What about the Hunt Post and your other sites? What kind of metrics are you getting there?
Right now we have, and we go about this a little bit different in the real estate space. In the real estate space, it's easier for us to do strategic partnerships with companies like Keller Williams, National Association of Realtors, Chicago Title, that sort of thing, in order to accumulate users versus going out and bringing those users in through social media and online advertisement. And so we're positioned right now to have about 1.5 to 2 million users, real estate professionals, not just consumers looking for homes or looking to sell a home, but actual real estate professionals. These are the ones that generate revenue when you're selling them advertisement, et cetera, in the real estate network by this time next year. At our growth pace, so we're excited about that. And to me, that's a kind of a benchmark number. If you look at the valuation based on users that Zillow has, of course, Zillow is a good stalking horse. They're a public company as well. That's a good number. And what we're looking to do is reach somewhere around a $200 million valuation off of that user base in about a year from now. So excited about that. And in the hunting and fishing space, and I should add that we're not just in hunting and fishing, we're in racket sports as well as soccer, and we've got golf and cycling coming on board here at the end of the year. But because hunting and fishing is our biggest, what we're in the process of doing and have been since April is onboarding about $50 million worth of products, fishing lures to African safaris into our social network, which is, of course, an e-commerce social network. In other words, a social network in which you can, like Amazon or eBay, sell your goods, whether those are new or used. And then, of course, after that, we hit that 50 million mark, we'll launch that e-commerce part of the platform and then throttle up and aim to get about $250 million of product in that network throughout 2019. That should equal pretty handsome valuation to that network and Social Life network. And then, of course, the user base right now is in the millions, but we're shooting for the hundreds of millions.
So I was going to ask you, so how many member or registered users do you have on the hunting site right now?
I'd have to double check. I know that last month, I should say, I apologize, September, this month is already a week or two in. In the month of September, we had a little over a million. And that's growing obviously at a much higher and faster pace than the other networks because it's a much, much larger audience, as I mentioned earlier.
Interesting. And how do you you just you kind of started off talking about the e-commerce side, but how do you monetize the different sites? Each has a different strategy, I'm assuming, or maybe if you can just kind of walk us through monetization for each of the major sites that you're focused on now.
Sure. Yeah. All of the networks in common have online advertising. So the ability to allow a business professional to buy ads online, display ads, content boosting, that sort of thing. Same thing that you can on Facebook or LinkedIn. Then in the cannabis space, we have a number of digital subscriptions specific to the cannabis industry that interface with point of sale systems, CRM systems, online advertising or online marketing systems, directory systems. For instance, as an example, one of our tools inside of our social network for the cannabis industry is that a dispensary or any business in the cannabis industry with a physical address can add their information to our directory, and then that gets pushed out to 150 other sites, including Facebook, Google Maps, etc. And then all of those are managed directly from our network. And so if somebody has a change in a phone number or a deal that might be taking place that week or hours of operation, they make it in one place and then it cascades across the rest of the internet. That's also a reputation management system so that as people are getting star ratings online and through our own network, that gets pushed out throughout the rest of the internet. So that's a powerful tool. That's just one of the things that we offer in the cannabis space on a digital service aspect. And then we offer many of these enterprise systems in the real estate industry. In other words, connecting with companies like the Chicago Title or Keller Williams with their enterprise software, allowing them to interface our network and build on it almost like an operating system. And so there's that as well as the e-commerce. E-commerce is certainly more popular in our sports networks than just real estate. And I should add that we don't do e-commerce in the cannabis network. We just don't want to go that direction anytime soon. Of course, we don't need the DEA knocking on our door saying, "Hey, we know you've got a great platform here, but did you know somebody is trying to sell drugs or something on the network?" So we want to stay away from that. But in the hunting and fishing space, that's obviously a huge portion of the revenue prediction because we think that we can hit about $200 million in net revenue off of fees, which range from 10 to 30% of the sale of goods in that network over the next couple of years. So certainly a big, big focus for the company for revenue generation.
And how now? And how will that work? Do you bring in a part, the sellers, and you get a percentage of the transactions? Like, what kind of sellers are you bringing in, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Originally, we thought we would just reach out to manufacturers and bring in their goods. Then, as we started to do trade shows a few years back, and we've now done dozens and dozens of trade shows in which we have met with vendors and merchants and identified that in most cases, 93% of those vendors or merchants at a trade show with a booth don't have the ability to scale their product so that it could be sold at, say, Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's. And in other words, they are reliant on either trade shows or the internet to sell their goods. Of those folks that we've met, which was about 2,600, we identified about 450 of them that don't have a website. They don't have their products online anywhere. If you were to buy something from them, you'd have to go to the trade show to find them. And so that was the target that we went after first, starting back in April. And those are that $50 million in products that I was talking about earlier that we have onboarded first,
What kind of
so that we
products
would be the only place
are these?
online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what kind of
Yeah.
products or services are these?
So we're talking about everything from custom fishing lures or fishing rods to bow and arrow, laser sights and things that small inventors have come up with, and they depend on these trade shows to go out and sell. It of course includes outfitters that are selling their safaris or their hunting packages or fishing packages, and that's a big portion of the industry as well.
Okay. And what you mentioned some other sites. You mentioned I believe a tennis site or racket site and cycling. Are you have similar models that you're employing there?
Yeah, very similar to the hunting and fishing space. Clearly, those aren't as large as the hunting and fishing space. But what we have found is that when it comes to digital media in tennis, for instance, there's a few big players like the Tennis Channel, an ATP or a USPTA that have really kind of taken over that industry for decades. But are far behind on digital media and online technology. And so what we've done is come up with systems that enhance theirs as well as provide back to the industry better exposure and a lot more data analytics so that we can identify, as an example, when a tennis group or tennis people are using our tennis social network and they're talking about different products that are available in the markets, tennis rackets, et cetera, that information can be fed back to companies like Wilson or Babolat or Prince and provide them with a better understanding of what type of products they should be focused on in R&D for the following year. That saves them, of course, millions of dollars on R&D. And then when they come out to market, they've got just the product that everybody has been talking about online. So just an enormous amount of information that can be provided in all of these niche industries. But tennis is a great one where they have been disconnected with the online audience, and we're providing that connection back to them in spades.
Okay.
Golf, very similar. Cycling too. Yeah.
Okay. And how do you go about develop? Is it what's the strategy and like which markets do you decide to develop these verticals in?
Well, we try to target the ones that have the best opportunity, of course. In other words, not a lot of competition with what we're doing, and of course, has more of a subculture about it, so that it's a lot easier for us to get into that industry. Every industry that we go into, it's important to say that we focus on strategic partnerships with associations that have members, existing members already. We first meet and find out what their pain points are with the use of technology online, and then we fill those pain points with our technology and then generate that partnership so we can bring those members on faster and easier. So that's a big part of it. What we haven't really talked too much about is our ability to spin out technology or custom technology extremely fast. And that's because of our artificial intelligence. We leverage AI much like an automobile manufacturer does, using AI for robotic arms on an assembly line. In other words, what we do is use our AI to assemble code, and we take that code and we build out our customization really quick. Here's an example. The first year that we launched our cannabis social network in 2013, it took us an entire year to build out that code. We launched a soccer social network back in May of this year, just as robust in technology as the cannabis network, and it took us only 3 weeks because the AI assembled all of the code, launched the network without any bugs in it, and is constantly working towards customizations with the MLS and other leagues that we're looking at around the world that that we'll be partnering with to make certain that the customization code works well for them, and it costs our company very little time and very little money to do it. That really sets us apart from anybody else.
Okay. Now, you kind of briefly touched on this, but can you tell us more about, you know, your background and also some of the key members of the team?
For sure. Of course, my background is now about 20 years with public tech companies and private companies. I've had many, many successes and an equal number of failures, which you have to have in order to gain wisdom in this industry. But it's been a fun ride. I came out of retirement to start this company, and I put my own money into the company really up until we took the company public back in the summer of 2016. It was at that time where I immediately wanted to start to focus on not only getting the company completely transparent and get an S-1 done and get to the OTCQB, but focus on NASDAQ. And so what I needed to do was assemble a very strong executive team as well as a board. And so I brought on D. Scott Carnegie. He's our chief operating officer. D. is running parallel to my career for the last 20 plus years now with companies like VP of sales at AOL, as well as SiriusXM, MySpace, Technicolor Film, et cetera. So D has got a very extensive background in building sales teams for digital media. And usually his focus is the revenue generation of $250,000 to $500 million a year mark. So he fit really well with our business model. I brought Mark DeSiena on as our chief accounting officer, and then most recently our CFO as of November 1st. And Mark is not just a seasoned public company CFO, but he's an attorney as well. So it makes it a lot easier for him to get on the same page as our legal counsel and securities attorney, Frederick Lehr. Frederick Lehr has been with the company for about a year and a half now. Fred has about 15 years experience working at the SEC. So I wanted someone like Fred to make certain that everything that we were doing was lining up with what the SEC would want us to be doing. And then our board also includes Trip Kieber, Kenneth Granville, and Leslie Boxcore. Both Trip and Leslie Boxcore, Trip Kieber, I should say, and Leslie Boxcore are two of the top branded people and successful business entrepreneurs in the cannabis industry. And then we've got Kenneth Granville, who's got a very extensive AI background. The company of his own that he has just received a patent. It was the fastest approved patent in the history of the United States. It's a technology AI patent. It's got some things that we use out of that patent, as well as our own AI. So it's very important for us to have someone like Kenneth Granville on our board. So we're very excited about not only the strength of our board, but to make certain that they had all the skill sets to be a NASDAQ company here in the next year or two.
Okay. Now, the company is still, you know, relatively early stage. At what point do you see, you know, the company, you know, reaching cash flow, you know, break even, and, you know, what are your capital needs to get to that point?
We will be cash positive. You know, we were cash positive going into the IPO. I should say not the IPO, but the reverse merger of the existing public company back in 2016. And then, you know, now we're we're strategically positioned for 2019 to be very, very cash flow positive as we are rolling out our sales and marketing in the cannabis space right now. We do have about 52 million page views per month on average in our cannabis social network. It's international, and so we plan to sell out those page views with online advertisement. That equals about $1.8 million in online advertisement based on some formulas. And so the sales and marketing team, again, led by D. Scott Carnegie, will be focused on selling out all of that advertisement on a monthly basis in 2019. So I'm excited about his projections, very bullish that he can sell out all of that. And so that's our goal. And then, of course, we've got hunting and fishing, which I believe will be very, very large by this time next year with regard to revenue, cash flow positive. So we're going into our first big year of cash flow positive. And that's, of course, I think where you'd want to get in on the company is right before that if you're looking to take a position in our shares.
What kind of revenues do you expect for 2019 with all the different verticals that you have?
Well, I don't like to put that out there because Fred Laird doesn't like us to throw those projections out. So we'll just say that there's a safe harbor here as I say this. But if we were to sell out all of our potential online advertisement, we would be looking at about $24 to $26 million in ad revenue. And based on how we are running, how efficiently we are running the company, I think that that's going to be about a 30, 40% profit margin on that 24 to 26 million. Obviously, we have to execute that. There are many things that could come into place that adjust that, either up or down. But it certainly is our goal of the board of directors to accomplish our potential.
Okay. So you have that much available inventory right now. So that's an impressive number.
Right.
Okay.
It's really unique that I was just going to say it's really unique that we have held off as long as we have with regard to going out and selling this online revenue. And that was somewhat intentional. Of course, you know, to run a company efficiently, you have to make certain that ultimately your end users are happy. Otherwise, you don't have much to work off of. And so we focused all of our effort over the last number of years on the technology and expansion of that technology and online breadth so that we could get to this point where when we wanted to start the sales and marketing team up and running, they had more than enough to go out and sell versus a lot of tech companies that both I've been part of and started or have been on the advisory board of tries to sell things too early. And before you know it, whatever they did have to sell is all sold out and starts to change the direction of the tech company. So we didn't want to go down that road. So we're excited about where we're at right now.
Okay. What's your vision for the company 2-3 years out? You know, what will this business look like in the 2021?
Well, I'll tell you what our goals are. Of course, you know, in a tech space, in any space, but tech for sure, things are constantly changing. Specific in our case to the next mobile phone version that's going to come out, or operating system, and these sort of things. But let's say all things being equal, for the next 24 months, we don't see a major adjustment in hardware, and we can continue to execute our plan as is. I expect us to be on NASDAQ as a hunting and fishing, primarily social network e-commerce platform with Social Life Network, that we will completely spin out the cannabis division before doing that. Of course, there's a huge benefit for shareholders, registered shareholders at this stage of the game when that happens, right? Because you have a company that's spun out and gone public on another exchange. You have to be compensated as a registered shareholder for those shares and that spin out. And you still have the shares in the existing company that's going to NASDAQ. And so our goal is to get to NASDAQ for sure as an e-commerce social network play. I think that we're playing beat the clock a little bit on that. I know that there is a counterpart out there that's focused on something similar, not in the hunting and fishing space, but in the real estate space called house.com. And so we have used them as a bit of a stalking horse in this goal. And I think that given our revenues and given the valuation or multiplier on the price earnings for this type of company, we certainly are focused on becoming a $1 billion market cap company. That's not far-fetched by any means. Then the hunting, or I should say the cannabis space, I believe that the in 2 years from now, of course, we'll have a nice, healthy company that's trading on Canadian exchange, possibly additional exchanges around the world. We'll see. And that will continue to go through its revenue growth to a pretty substantial amount. Our goal over the next 36 months is to hit $50+ million in revenue. And if we stay true to our profit margins for that, then we're looking at a 40% profit margin as well. So I think there's a lot of upside growth in that. And then, you know, the real estate space, as I mentioned before, going to have a company that's likely valued at $200 million here based on usership over the next year or two. And as a result, we will likely see an offer on that company from some of the players in the industry, anyone from someone like News Corp to Zillow. So we'll just entertain those as they come in. And at that point, if it makes a lot of sense, we would likely do a spinoff and let someone acquire that company. If that doesn't make sense, then our goal will be to, like we did with the cannabis division, spin it out and go public with that company on its own on NASDAQ. So those are kind of our snapshots of the future here. And, of course, that can always change. But, you know, I can tell you one thing. I've been in the business long enough to come up with the right business models, exit strategies, and stay very focused on the task at hand. And we don't usually vary too much from that.
Okay. Now, you said your goal is to get to what, $50 million in revenues in the next 36 months for the all the different verticals?
Cannabis. Just for the cannabis.
Oh, just for cannabis.
Right.
Okay, wow. I guess we can end on the final question is I guess the best one. In your opinion, what are the key reasons why investors should, you know, want to buy the stock today?
Well, if you're valuing a company and its shares based on profit and strength of its market share and growth, and of course its team, we're at probably the lowest valuation you would ever see with this company. I know that the valuation based on the share volume right now, which is extremely low, doesn't come close to our internal valuation based on users. And in fact, it's about half of what it should be valued at today if you were to value us the same way most Silicon Valley private companies get valued, and not to mention the public valuation, which is usually higher than those private. So, you know, we believe that we are an extremely undervalued purchase opportunity right now. And it's, of course, our goal to continue to grow the company and have that eventually come out with, you know, reports and analysts taking a closer look at our company and seeing that we're executing as we had planned.
Well, on that note, Ken, I want to thank you, and we look forward to following the Social Life Network story in the months ahead.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.